Good morning, Indianapolis. It is April, I believe, the 10th, 2016. Yeah, it is. And anywho, it's obviously Sunday morning, I believe. I hope it's not Monday. Nope, checking. It's Sunday. Yeah, so on my rather misguided trip, I was thinking about a question and a topic that I seldom discuss. Well, actually, that's not true. I talk about it a lot. I just never give it a name, typically. But today I'm going to give it a name, and it's called non-aggression. Now, I'm going to explain what I mean by it, and you can do your own research. You know, this is not my concept. This is actually a concept in libertarian philosophy, and I would say generally within the sphere of liberty, liberty-minded thinking generally, but basically non-aggression goes like this. Every living thing has an innate right, or should see it as a right of self-defense. We all have a right to live in that sense. We have a right to try to live, to fight for our lives. In fact, you could say it's not as much a right, it's a feature of a living thing that it will struggle and try to survive. But as conscious thinking human beings who live in communities, we have to kind of, you know, temper that basic requirement of living with the respect for our neighbors. And the idea is this: everyone has a right to self-defense, but nobody has a right to be a bully. Basically, that's a very simple description of the non-aggression principle. Everybody has a right to protect themselves. I have a right to protect myself. You know, nations that are not the United States have a right to not be molested by our country. I know that sounds crazy, but our founding fathers generally believed that we would be better off not becoming an empire. And you think about the choices we made roughly a century ago, a little more than a century ago, and I'm not talking about the Federal Reserve. I'm talking about the presidency of Theodore Roosevelt. I mean, ultimately, when we talk about philosophical concepts like one world government, progressive philosophy, the whole notion of the neocon exceptionalist doctrine of America being the military imperial force that will unify the world. A lot of that started under Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt was not like our founding fathers. You know, it's sort of despicable that his picture is up there in stone at Mount Rushmore, because he was not someone we should respect or admire. He was, in fact, in many ways, the first imperial American president. Now, of course, he didn't have the power of an Obama or a Nixon or a Bush. He didn't have the power to do the things that other imperial presidents have done. But he tried. Like, he tried to send the fleet around the world. He could only afford to send it halfway, but he tried. The bottom line is that from his perspective, if he looked at the neocons today, Teddy Roosevelt would be a neocon. If Teddy Roosevelt were alive today, and a lot of Republicans don't get this, is that Teddy was not the kind of Republican you should admire. You should admire Barry Goldwater, and there's a version of Ronald Reagan you should admire, but not Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt, you know, is the kind of president Hillary Clinton would admire. So, yeah. So anyways, off on that tangent. But the point is that basically with non-aggression, building massive armies to invade other countries, building massive weapons complexes, massive industrial complexes for designing and building bombs and weapons to blow the shit out of people, according to the non-aggression principle, it's okay to build weapons to protect yourself. But when you go out of your way to build weapons whose only purpose it is to desolate enemies that you don't even know exist yet, or to simply desolate your neighbors because you don't agree with the way they live, no, that doesn't fit with the non-aggression principle. Now, does it stand that if a nation or a people are being murdered or attacked, that the United States should simply stand by and ignore it? I don't really have a good answer to that question. But what I can tell you is it's worthy of a debate. In a free society, if we're going to go to war, if we're going to use weapons to blow the shit out of people, and I'm sorry for keeping it simple like that, but until you've seen pictures of kids who've been burned by white phosphorus, don't fucking think it's more complicated. Before we decide to go dump white phosphorus on a nation, shouldn't we have a debate? And I don't mean the bullshit authorization debates we've seen since the first Gulf War. That's bullshit. And frankly, maybe this goes back further. But certainly that was the first bullshit episode of one of the applications of the War Powers Act. But exactly what debate have we had since 9/11? Really? What debate, what choice have we had, what debate have we had? We've been told that if we don't do it, we're all going to die. So we have to put up with a fucking TSA. We have to put up with a fucking drone attacks on people we don't even know who've never had a trial, and we assume are guilty because we're told they're guilty. And listen, I know that there are Islamic terrorists, just like I know that there are terrorists of many stripes. And I have no doubt that there are Islamic terrorists who would like to kill Americans. That seems plausible, especially given what we've done since 9/11. But I don't buy into the argument that we're on an irreversible road of perpetual war, that we can't make other choices. I think we can make other choices. We don't have to be bullies. The United States could go back to a basic non-aggression principle as a nation, but also as a society. We could learn to respect each other. We could learn to live and let live again. It's not impossible. We might have to let go of some of the bullshit communities that we've been suckered into, specifically things like Facebook, Twitter, stuff like that. We might have to step away from the computer. We might have to step away from the propaganda machine. But we could do it. We could stop the stupid fucking war machine. And we could adopt, as a basic principle of foreign policy, non-aggression. But, you know, for me to believe that's going to happen, I have to tap into the optimistic feature of my soul. And I gotta tell you, that ain't an island that seems like we're going to make it to as far as sailing goes or anything else. Yes, I would prefer that our next American president adopt a foreign policy of non-intervention and non-aggression. I would prefer that we stop the stupid fucking wars. I would prefer that the United States not be seen as a big fucking bully, because that's what we are. If we look around the world today, people don't see us as heroes. They see us as fucking bullies. Bullies going around to tell people the way they should fucking live. When you realize or understand that built into the core DNA of the American Republic is this belief, don't tread on me. Leave me alone. How can we preach to our own government to stop the NSA bullshit, to stop the TSA bullshit, when we go around the world fucking with other countries? It's called hypocrisy. And that, too, is reversible. We're all hypocrites at times, but we can change. And to close this out, Donald Trump has given a lot of lip service to being anti-neocon. I don't know if he's actually said that, but he seems like he's trying to dance in the garden of being an anti-neocon, you know, to sort of convince people that that's where he's coming from. And he uses a lot of language that sometimes, in moments, I can allow myself to pretend maybe this individual is serious. I'm not saying he's not a buffoon. Donald Trump is a buffoon. He's a buffoon, and he's a charlatan, and he's a scoundrel. And he might be as bad as the blackest pirates of centuries ago. But he also might be telling the truth. And if he is telling the truth, if he really is against all of this stupid militaristic bullshit that is bankrupting us, bankrupting the world, and tarnishing our souls forever, more or less punishing all of us to hell, to be honest with you, if you pay taxes, you're buying the bombs that are burning the children alive, so yes, you too will have a ticket to hell. If Trump is serious, then there's a chance we could save our collective asses, but more importantly, we could save our collective souls. So I haven't decided to support Trump. To be honest with you, I still think it's a giant fucking mind fuck. I think it's a deep state mind fuck. Most Americans are so fucking stupid now, it's easy to fuck with their minds. So I don't know that Donald Trump is a real thing. I think he's the release valve. He's kind of like Ferguson or Baltimore. He's that attempt by the deep state to release some steam. So are we likely to see a president who supports non-aggression as a matter of both domestic and foreign policy? I doubt it.